Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. We've got a beautiful Christmas time movie again this week to help us wake up from the dream of separation and death. I can't think of a better Christmas present than forgiveness and waking up from the dream of separation and death, because that present is an eternal present. That present is not something that is here one day and gone the next. That present lasts forever. And I think we're all ready to start to receive the gift of eternity. You know, we've been told by Jesus that the whole purpose of this world is forgiveness. And in A Course in Miracles, he calls that the atonement. He says the atonement is the first miracle and the last miracle and all the miracles in between. So that gets my attention. If that's the way he defines the atonement or the correction, as the first miracle, the last miracle, and all the miracles in between, then you know it's got to be important. And it's so important that he says it's our only responsibility. Twice in his Course in Miracles, he says that it's the only responsibility we have. Basically, we don't have any obligations. We don't have any duties. We have nothing in time and space that we have to do. But in our mind, we have to accept the correction for the belief in separation. That's our responsibility. It's not really an obligation. It's a requirement, because we were created happy by God. And God's will is perfect happiness for us. And so the only way we know God's will for us of perfect happiness is to accept the correction for the error. So you see what I mean? This is important. That's why we're talking about it today. And that's what the movie is ultimately about. It's about accepting the correction for the error. Because there are no errors in God's mind. And there aren't any errors in eternity. So it must be that if I'm perceiving myself in time, that I need to accept this correction. It seems to be pretty important. So today we have some beautiful themes that you all voted on throughout the week. And so I always like to refer to our themes, because that's where our prayer starts. We start with our themes. We pray to Jesus and the Holy Spirit to use these themes to reach us and help us wake up from this dream. And this week, the number one theme that you all voted on is trying to get it right versus relaxing into true purpose. That's our problem. We've been trying to get it right in time and space and thinking we know what is right in time and space. That's a problem. You know, how can you accept the correction for the problem if you think you already know the problem? And if you're sure it's a financial problem, or if you're sure it's an interpersonal relationship problem, or you're for sure that we have a pollution problem, or a pandemic problem, or an overpopulation problem, or fill in the blank. Anything you want to call a stressful situation is really defining the problem in terms of the form. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are telling us it's not the form that's the problem. The form is just a reflection of what you believe. And you think you're something other than the Holy Christ. And that's the problem. Thinking you have an identity apart from God's perfect love and light. That's the problem. So good. We're all on the same page there. So beautiful. Trying to get it right versus relaxing into true purpose. The second one is looking for hearing the Holy Spirit in all my brothers. Wouldn't that be cool if no matter who you were talking to, no matter who you were talking to, all you were hearing is one channel. Let's say you had a channel in your mind and it was called Holy Spirit Channel. And all you could hear was what they were really asking for. Even if they were screaming at you in form, you could hear on your soft Holy Spirit channel, they're just hurting because they think this. They're just having a bad day. And they're coming to have you just bless them. They just want you to give them a blessing. That's all they're doing. Don't pay no attention to the screaming red face. It has nothing to do with anything. They're hurting and they're asking for love. And don't even react defensively at all, because there's nothing to react against. All it is a beautiful call for love and nothing more. So we're going to try to tune into the Holy Spirit today and all our brothers and sisters. And this movie is perfect for that, because it's a relationship movie. And you know how the ego likes to make relationships. It makes a hierarchy of relationships. The ones that it likes, the besties, the partnerships, you know, the husbands and wives, and then the indifferent ones, like, oh yeah, I've heard about them, I don't care. And then the ones that it hates. So you're either on the good side of the ego, or the indifferent, or the hatred. You know, that's all it knows, is a hierarchy of illusions. And really, that's really not sacred to us, because we're holy and we want to see everybody as holy. We don't want to be fooled by these crazy opinions and judgments of who we thought they were based on the past. We want to know who they are right now. We want to see who they truly are right now, always, and feel that in our hearts. Okay. The third one is resistance to fear of communication. And this isn't necessarily fear of communication in form. This is fear of communication from the Holy Spirit, because that's what the sleeping mind is afraid of. It's afraid of the Holy Spirit. Why is the sleeping mind afraid of the Holy Spirit? Because it has a feeling if it follows the Holy Spirit, it will lose its individual personal identity. And it doesn't want to do that. The Holy Spirit's saying, we're all the same one. We're all spirit. And that's what all the communications from the Holy Spirit are. They're always reminding us that we're the same one. We're never upset at anybody else. We're just upset at some thought or belief that we hold about ourselves, which is telling us that we're separate. That's what the ego is. It's a belief in separation. So when we say resistance to or fear of communication, we're really talking about the fear of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says in the Course in Miracles, there are many answers you have received, but have not heard. So we've received all the answers in our mind to every question that we would ever have. We've already received them. They've already landed in our mind with the Holy Spirit. But he says, there are many answers you have received and have not heard. And that's just because the ego is too afraid to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Because the ego believes in separation, the Holy Spirit always speaks for unity, always speaks for love, connection. You're the same one. There's no problem. The problems have all been solved. You're home free. You're just dreaming a dream of exile, but you're actually safe at home. You're here with God. You're here with me. You're safe. You're safe in spirit, but you're afraid of the communication that tells you that because it seems frightening to the ego. I sometimes refer to one of the early quantum physicists, which was Albert Einstein. And when Albert and a group of quantum physicists first discovered the quantum field, it scared them. It scared them. They thought, we'll never be able to publish this in the scientific journals. We'll be the laughingstock of all the scientists. And that's what would have happened if they published it back in the early 1900s. They would be the laughingstock of all the scientists back in the early 1900s. And then I told you that what the quantum field represents everything being completely connected. And Albert Einstein called this connection that they found in the quantum field, he called spooky action at a distance. When a scientist uses the word spooky, that is fear. Scientists don't know the pure oneness of God's love and light. They're investigating the empirical most of the time. But when they discovered the quantum field where everything was connected, regardless of space and time, that's why, you know, Albert Einstein called it spooky action at a distance. We're going to go towards that quantum field today. This is our Christmas present to ourselves. We're going to the quantum field of complete forgiveness today. And the other one we have here is everyone perfectly acts out our own beliefs. So every person that we perceive is just a pictorial representation of what we believe. If we don't like somebody, it's not really them that we don't like. It's there's something we're holding on to in our mind and we project it out into a character to act it out for us. But what Jesus is telling us in the Course is he says, you either extend the truth or you multiply illusions. You either are extending love or you're projecting what you don't like onto the world as if it's not you. So when you point the finger at somebody and you say, I don't like them. I don't like their personality. I don't like their behavior and everything. Just remember, when you point the finger at anybody, you've got three fingers pointing back at you every time you point the finger at somebody else. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. You've got the Trinity in your face every time you point a finger at anybody, every time you try to blame somebody, every time you try to find fault in anybody. The Holy Trinity is pointing back at you saying, no, no, this is your own thought about yourself. This is not them at all. This is just you thinking you're separate from God. Don't blame them. Release the thought. And the final one we have is releasing feelings of guilt and sacrifice for following my calling. I think we should start to have some fun. Is anybody in for fun with me? You know, I mean, if we're waking up to all that is, shouldn't that be fun? Why should that be a struggle? Why should we have to feel, oh, I got to do my spiritual practice today before I go to work? I got to got to read the course, and I got to do my prayers and meditations. We should be happy to do the prayers and meditation. We should be overjoyed to do the lesson of the day, because it's for us. It's for us to learn. We can have some fun. Let's have some fun. That's to me fantastic. So I feel like the spiritual journey is intended to be fun, and only the ego thinks it's not fun. The ego is going to portray it as hard, difficult, challenging, upheavals, you know. It just doesn't have a good word about anything, especially the spiritual journey. It doesn't like the spiritual journey because it's out of business if you go on that journey. That's a going out of business sale for the ego when you go on your spiritual journey. That's Black Friday for the ego. If you go on your journey with true authenticity, that's Black Friday for the ego, because it's like, oh no, oh no, no, no. I had this mind captive for millennium, and now it's decided to resurrect and wake up. What the heck? What's going on? So those are our movie polls themes for the week. And again, we have a Christmas movie to help us wake up. Now, the one thing that I find interesting is we do have a lot of time-based movies in The Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment. Probably Groundhog Day is one of the most famous time loop movies. But if you spend some time, you'll notice in our collection, we have many loop movies. And what is so good about a looper movie where the day seems to repeat is that it slows down time and it starts to show us what's going on. We can see the lesson more clearly when it loops. Now, without the looper movies, we just are too lost. We're too lost into the ego's games and distractions. We can't really see the lesson unless we slow it down. And so Groundhog Day was fantastic, because when that first came out, we were like, look at Phil the weatherman. Oh my gosh, he's reliving the same day. He's stepping in the same puddle every morning. He's falling into the same traps every day. And we can relate to Phil because we start to think, oh my gosh, Phil's life is like my life. And that's the first step in starting to wake up from the dream. You have to be able to notice the beliefs and the thoughts. You have to notice the ego patterns before you can be free of them. That's why people like astrology. Anybody here had any work with astrology? That helps out. Astronomy, that helps out. Numerology, that helps out. All these different things that people do when they go on the spiritual journey, they're all little helpful symbols of starting to look at the patterns of thought and belief that you're still holding on to in your mind. And that's where the value is. So if we go back to the Bible and what Jesus said in the Bible 2,000 years ago, I think one of the most important things that he said, and this, I think this is one of the most important things that Jesus ever spoke while he was here on the planet. It's very, very simple, but it says a lot. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He was saying that our Christ identity is not in the future. It's literally before time. That's why when people say, I follow Eckhart Tolle, I'm following Muji, I'm doing Adishanti. Why is it that I'm watching all these teachers and I'm having so many issues in my life? And it's like, well, it's because the presence, the present moment, the presence of love, the I am presence is not in between the past and the future. If you look for it in time, you will not find it. And Jesus was the first one to wake up from this dream. And what did he say? Before Abraham was, I am. And I also like the context he said it in, because they were ready to stone him when he started talking about the Messiah. And he said, the day has arrived. He was basically saying he was the prophesied Messiah from the Old Testament. And then they basically looked at him and said, how dare you, you young 30-something-year-old man, how dare you call yourself that? And basically, they were getting ready to get the rocks and stone Jesus. And he simply calmly said, before Abraham was, I am. Before time seemed to exist, I am. I am the presence of spirit, of love and light that exists prior to time. Now, the reason today's movie is going to be so helpful for you is because it's going to reorient your mind where to look. See, if you've been looking in the wrong place, no wonder it's frustrating. If you've been trying to find eternity in time, that's a problem, because the present moment is not between the past and the future. It's before time was. So when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, he's telling us that it's prior to time. So I'm going to show a time loop movie that is aimed to help you release the entire loop of time, because the past repeating itself over and over is what time is. Jesus tells us history would not exist if you didn't keep making the same mistake in the present. So we need to get super clear on what that mistake is so we can stop it, stop choosing it. You know, we don't need to keep choosing the same error and facing the same issues over and over and over. We can actually let this come to an end. Now, even in the workbook of A Course in Miracles, Jesus starts introducing time ideas. Already in workbook lesson number 7, he's trying to rinse our minds from all beliefs in time. And already by number 7 in the workbook, he's saying, I see only the past. And then lesson number 8 is, my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. I see only the past because my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. So in lessons 7 and 8, he's telling us the gateway to eternity. He's saying that your consciousness is preoccupied with the past. And in A Course in Miracles, Jesus calls the past the unholy instant. And then we see that the correction for the unholy instant, the instant of the ego belief, is the holy instant. Okay? But what I want to emphasize is that the answer is prior to the problem. If you look for the answer inside the problem, you won't find it. If you look for it after the problem, you won't find it. The answer is prior to the problem, because there is no problem. So that's why you have to find the answer before the belief in a problem. You can't find it in the belief of a problem. Does that make sense? You can't look in the past to find the answer. And yet, all the 5 senses are part of the past. So now you know why we call it the intuitive journey. Now you know why we call it the inner journey, because the 5 senses are part of the past and you cannot find the correction in the past. So I just want to read to you a paragraph from the Manual for Teachers in A Course in Miracles, because Jesus is so direct that I think what I'm going to read to you applies perfectly to today's movie. And this is what Jesus has to say in the Manual for Teachers. Jesus says, in order to understand the teaching learning plan of salvation, it is necessary to grasp the concept of time that the Course sets forth. We're not interested in the concept of time that the world sets forth. We're interested in the concept of time that the Course sets forth. Because if everything that we believe about this world is rooted in linear time, there has to be another perception of time that we need to know if we're going to back to eternity. We can't find it using the ego's concept of time because the ego invented linear time. There is no linear time in eternity. Eternity is forever. Eternity is everlasting. It's bliss. It's oneness. There is no such thing as time. There are no seconds or weeks or months or years in eternity. In fact, eternity is prior to the belief in time. So in order to reach eternity, we have to understand the Course's concept of time. He says, atonement corrects illusions, not truth. Therefore, it corrects what never was. Further, the plan for this correction was established and completed simultaneously, for the will of God is entirely apart from time. So is all reality being of him. The instant the idea of separation entered the mind of God's Son, in that same instant was God's answer given. In time, this happened very long ago. In reality, it never happened at all. Never happened at all. That means when we say love is all there is, that's a fact. Love is all there is. And the Beatles said, all you need is love, meaning all you need is the forgiveness of the illusion to remember the love. That's what the interpretation of the Beatles. We got to do a Holy Spirit interpretation of the Beatles. But they knew what they were talking about. They were messengers. They were messengers of light. The world of time is the world of illusion. What happened long ago seems to be happening now. Choices made long since appear to be open, yet to be made. So we're going to see that in today's movie, that the main character is going to face a time loop. And just like Bill Murray kept repeating Groundhog's Day, this movie now, this is like a spiritual version of Groundhog's Day we're watching today. The spiritual version of Groundhog Day. Why is it the spiritual version? Is because the day that loops is Christmas Eve. The day that keeps looping is Christmas Eve. What is Christmas Eve? Evening is night. The night before the birth of the light of Christ. You see? So Christmas Eve loops. We're all dealing with Christmas Eve every day of the year. We're praying for Christmas. We're praying for the birth of Christ. We're praying to realize that I am the Christ. We're praying to realize that I am born again in the light that God created me as, and I am a new, ever new eternal creature, so to speak. I am an eternal light in the light of Christ. But if I'm going to stick on Christmas Eve, that's before the Christ. And that has got to be time. That's got to be a loop of time that goes nowhere. You know, that has to be frustrating to be stuck always on Christmas Eve, and you never get to wake up for the dawn of the light of Christ. You know, that's very frustrating. So that's why this is a spiritual version of Groundhog's Day. This is our wake-up call. The lessons that our main character is going to go through. Her name is Kate. In Groundhog Day, we had Phil, played by Bill Murray. Today, in this movie, Kate, played by Amy Smart, because I love the titles, the names are so good. We're going to see that Kate has got to face what she is believing in order to remember the truth. In order to come back to experience the love, she has to face her beliefs. So this story The movie came out in 2011, and it was called The 12 Dates of Christmas. Because it's a looping Christmas Eve movie where she keeps reliving her blind date. She has a blind date on Christmas Eve, and this blind date represents her chance to wake up to true love. And the reason that it keeps repeating over and over is because she has an agenda. She has an agenda. She wants to get her old relationship back. And she wants to get her old relationship, his name is Jack. She wants to get Jack back. And her girlfriend, her best girlfriend, is telling her that's crazy. Her father is not in line with that idea, her biological father there. Her dog, Max, is not in line with getting Jack back. In fact, everyone seems to realize that you're not going to find happiness by trying to reinvent or recapture something from the past. We all tried it. Has everyone tried that? I tried it. We've tried it. We tried to reinvent the past and, you know, preserve the past and, you know, redo the past. It doesn't work. We tried. We all tried. But Kate still believes she has to recapture this past relationship in order to be happy. The thing about it is her dog, Max, is the Holy Spirit character. Her dog, Max, has other plans. She's trying to reinvent the past, and her dog, Max, is trying to save her from the past by showing her that the past has no value. The past is not where the intimacy was. The past is not where the connection was. It's right now. The present moment is where our opportunity for this happiness, this connection is. Right now, always right now. And that's because our perception of linear time is blocking us from the reality of eternity. There's actually a point in the course where Jesus does say that time goes backwards. He says, this is what Jesus says, time really then goes backward to an instant so ancient that it is beyond all memory and past even the possibility of remembering. Yet, because it is an instant that is relived again and again and still again, it seems to be now. And thus it is that pupil and teacher seem to come together in the present, finding each other as if they had not met before. The pupil comes at the right time to the right place. This is inevitable because he made the right choice in that ancient instant, which he now relives. So basically, it's telling us that time is simultaneous. Time is not linear at all. And the whole point of every encounter that we have is to remember the present moment. There is no purpose to any encounter that we have or any relationship except remembering the present moment. And then Jesus goes on to tell us how exciting that's going to be when that happens. He says that when you realize this is the teaching-learning situation, each one learns that giving and receiving are the same. The demarcations that they have drawn between their roles, their minds, their bodies, their needs, their interest, and all the differences they thought separated them from one another fade and grow dim and disappear. All those things I just mentioned, all those differences, the roles, everything, they're all based on time. They're all made up by the ego. They're all part of a trick to keep us from remembering who we are. They're all part of a trick to keep us trapped in expectations. Oh, you should treat me better. You shouldn't have done this. You think of all the arguments about what should have been different in a relationship. All the coulda, woulda, shouldas, you know. If only you had done this different. If only you had done that. Oh, no, no. Jesus is saying, no, no. It's a problem of not recognizing the present moment, that this time is simultaneous and everything is included in this moment, everything without exception. So it's only the belief in linear time that blocks us from the love. And that's why we have to empty our minds. Like in Buddhism, they say, empty your mind. In Advaita Vedanta, empty your mind. All yoga and spiritual practices of the East say, empty your mind. They're saying, in order to make a space for the divine presence in you, you have to empty your mind of everything you think and believe that you know, in order to come with wholly empty hands unto the presence of God's love.
Join David Hofmeister and the Living Miracles community for an online all-day movie workshop. Each movie is presented by David Hofmeister, who will offer an inspiring movie setup, make commentary, and provide a space for you to share your movie experience. Join us online. Come for a single movie workshop, or sign up for a monthly membership. All our movie workshops are focused on the non-dual teachings of A Course in Miracles and its practical application in our everyday lives. When? Weekly on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. MDT. Go to livingmiracles.org/events for more information.
The problem that the mind, the sleeping mind experiences is with specialness. And what is specialness except having agendas? And what is agendas except having a life plan and form? In this world, you know, we're taught to have a life plan. We're supposed to think of it as good, have planned out our ambitions, what we want to do with our life, career ambitions, family ambitions, achievement ambitions. And Jesus waits until about lesson 135 in the workbook. If you're doing the Course in Miracles workbook, he gets to lesson 135 and he said that people don't always realize that planning is a defense against the truth. So we may think of, like, let's say you buy a gun to have in your house to protect yourself. That seems pretty defensive. Maybe you buy life insurance or health insurance. That's a defense against the truth. Maybe you have an alarm system on your car and on your house. That's a defense against the truth. And then we have psychological defenses called projection, denial, repression, sublimation. Maybe you never answer your phone. You just let it always go to the answering machine. You never, ever take a live call. You've just let your answering machine take every call. That's a defense. You know, there's a lot of ways that the mind chooses to defend itself, but they're all body defenses. They're all defending the personhood. They're all defending the personal identity. And Jesus says it's not often recognized that planning, he says in lesson 135, is a defense against the truth. Because basically, you are still trying to control the world through ego-initiated plans of the agenda of what you want to happen. Now, if we look at this movie with Kate, she has an idea in her mind. She's going to get back together with her ex, Jack. She also does not like her father's choice of a wife. She's not thrilled with Sally. She has such a focus in her life of, like, her girlfriend was saying, yeah, date for 2 years, then get engaged, then get married. And she has a whole justification for the time frame of her agenda, because she wants to allow for time for the maternity, and she's got her whole life planned out. And I think I've said many times, if you want to make God laugh, tell God your plans. The problem is the plans are initiated by the ego. And there is a plan of awakening that the Holy Spirit has, but that involves letting go of your egoic plans. And it means that the ones you're supposed to meet and the ones that you're supposed to go through the waking up with are prearranged, but they're all guided by the Holy Spirit. It's not based on past preferences. It's based on present joining, present connection, present collaboration. It's a way of freeing the mind of these past agendas. In fact, Jesus says that whenever a brother does not act out the way that you want him to, or play the role that you assigned to him, then that's where the grievance starts. A grievance is simply expecting somebody to act or behave differently than they act or behave, and then justifying it and rationalizing it as if they have a problem, when it's the sleeping mind that has the problem. The sleeping mind is dreaming of exile from God, and it's holding on to attack thoughts, judgments, and grievances, and projecting it out as if other people are doing the wrong things. The other people aren't doing anything wrong. In fact, Jesus is saying that in that ancient instant where everything is simultaneous, that every person that you meet was already spun out in one instant. So you don't really have a choice of the curriculum, and you don't even have a choice of the form of the curriculum. Everyone that you seem to meet, you were meant to meet. All things work together for good. There are no accidents. There is no chance involved. There's no luck involved in the plan. You're not lucky to meet some people and unlucky to meet others. In that ancient instant, it was arranged that you would meet everybody and see them correctly. And they are showing up at the perfect place at the perfect time. And none of it is accidental. But the choice that you still have in your mind is, how do you see them? Do you see them from the past, or do you see them in the miracle? And when you see them in the miracle, oh, they're just so adorable, because you see them as part of you. Oh, there's Wesley and Angie. Angie's saying, see, I told you, Wesley. We agreed upon this. It was many millennium ago, but we agreed we would meet in Mexico, and I would help you wake up, and you would help me wake up. And Wesley's like, oh, God, sometimes I don't know if I can buy that. But it's true. It's true. And there's Nanny and David. There you go. In Oregon, they've made it. They made it to this point. There's an ancient instant. There it is, a kiss from David. Yes, now we're on track. We're all remembering this ancient instant from long, long ago, where we agreed to wake up. We agreed to forgive all the grievances, to say, I love you. You can do no wrong in my Christ eyes. You are as perfect and innocent as you are and have always been, as God created you. And this is holy. This is holy relationship. This is so precious. So I bring this up early in the movies because the only thing blocking Kate from present happiness is that she has an agenda. She has a plan in her mind for happiness. And that plan is based on past preferences and past beliefs, and that plan is won't ever succeed. So the whole point of this movie is for her to start to realize that there is a plan for her happiness, but it's not of her personal making. It's foolproof. This plan is absolutely foolproof. It's inevitable. It cannot fail. It's so strong, it cannot fail. But we do have to be willing to go with it. We have to be willing to embrace it moment by moment. Now, as soon as Kate is lying there and she's opening to the idea that it's a dream, which her friend told her to calm her down, she jumps up and she goes, ah, if it's a dream, you know, I can do whatever I want. Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem we have, is the ego told us that at the beginning. Why be an eternal spirit in eternity forever when you can do whatever you want? You don't have to be a creation of God. You can be the kingpin. You can invent the world as any way you want it. You can do anything you want. You can be male or female. You can be from this culture or that culture. You can be speak this language, that language, bilingual, trilingual, multilingual, you know, seven languages. We still aren't happy. We speak seven languages. We traveled around the world. And why are we still not content? Why are we still looking for the next best thing? It's because the dream world is a dream, but it's not a dream where you can do whatever you want. That's why the ego made the world, so you could have an identity apart from God and do whatever you well want to do. And then the ego made up this thing of choice in form. And the more choices the ego says, the better. That's why we strive to have careers and make all this money, so we can buy ourselves more choices. More money, you can go to more stores, more wider price ranges, buy more stuff. Does it make you happy? No. Did anybody else try this? I tried it too. I tried it. I had 10 years of university. I got a credit card. Oh, wow, a credit card. And you can go and buy what Jesus says, buy things you don't even need or want. And then you can go out and do more meaningless, useless things to get more green paper strips and piles of metal discs to buy more things you don't want. Jesus is good. He's not fooling. He wants us to know divine love. He wants us to know happiness. He's not fooling around. He's not pulling any punches. He's giving it to us straight. So Kate jumps up. I can make Jack want me. Oh boy. Did anybody else try that, to try to get somebody to want you? Well, some of you might have read, Jesus even talks about this in his course. In the Gift of Lilies section, he says, when you try to use your body and the things you wear and you dress it up to attract the body's eyes of another body, you're trying to live with guilt. You're offering the gift of guilt when you use your body to try to attract the eyes of another body. Show me a spirituality that is that specific. Oh, Jesus really wants us to wake up, because he's pointing out that the purpose for which you do anything is the most important thing. Are you offering the gift of innocence? Are you greeting your brother in the present moment? Are you offering a blessing? Is your purpose to give the miracle, to give the gift of love and acceptance to your brother and sister? Or do you have an agenda of trying to get that brother or sister to do something specifically so that they will fit into the ego self-concept that the ego made of a picture of yourself that's not you? But they don't work. They're all part of a trick. Remember, the ego invented linear time. God is the God of eternity. Remember when Jesus said, I'm calling you out of the world, he's just saying the same thing that Buddha said. Empty your mind of these false concepts and beliefs, the same thing that Paramahansa Yogananda said, the same thing that Ramana Maharshi says, that Muji says, that Adi Ashanti says, that all of the teachers and mystics have said, you are the one, you are pure love and light, and you need to let go of the ego and its beliefs and thoughts in order to realize that light. Thank heavens, we're getting it straight now. We don't want to play this dream, sleepy dream game for millennium and stay caught in illusions of time and space. We want to wake up to eternity. So the key thing is, Jesus tells us in the Course, seek not to change the world, seek rather to change your mind about the world. He's telling us, seek not to change the dream. He's saying, I'm with you right now, and we can do this. We can see the world in a different way. We can see the world from a higher perspective with the Holy Spirit, and that's the escape hatch. It's not in trying to keep rearranging the deck chairs of the Titanic. If you're on a sinking ship and the ship is going down, why would you fool around with the deck chairs? You know, Jesus is like saying, let's get off the ship. It is going down. It is predetermined. This world is, it's not only going down, it never went up. It's a dream world. It's not worthy of our holy mind. I don't know if you remember in the Bible, they told Lot's wife, don't look back or you'll turn into a pillar of salt. And she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. She froze into a concept of Lot's wife by looking back at the past when she was told not to. When we talk about going back, Jesus tells us in the setting the goal section of the text, he says that the only way to go through the day is to put the goal out front, the goal of truth, the goal of peace, put it out front and really see that everything will happen in that day to support your goal that you put out in front. But the goal must be out front. He says, if you don't have a clear-cut goal out front every day, then things will just seem to happen. And then you'll look back and then the ego will decide whether it likes it or not. But he tells us in the setting the goal section that only the ego looks back. Only the ego looks back. You are never looking back with the Holy Spirit, ever. So if you want to wake up to heaven, you have to simply tell yourself, I can't live like that anymore. I have to live by the setting the goal section. Or if you want even more instructions, Jesus gives you at the end of the book, later chapter, rules for decision. It's an expanded version of setting the goal. Now he's giving you explicit instructions on how to move through the day. I love a way shower who gives explicit instructions. He's telling us, you can't keep looking at this world the way you've looked at it before. Because if you keep looking at it through the filter of the past, you're looking through the filter of the ego. That's why Jesus gives us workbook lessons to undo this dark filter of the ego. In Corinthians, in the Bible, it says you're looking through a darkened glass. Yeah? Well, Jesus has gone right after cleaning that glass. That's all the workbook lessons are in A Course in Miracles. You meet a Christian friend, they say, I love Jesus. You say, yeah, I was just reading Corinthians. It said, I'm looking in a darkened glass and I can't see. So I'm trusting Jesus to clean my filter. Then you both can rejoice together. You don't have to split hairs over theology. Just rejoice with your Christian friend that you're both going through a cleaning. A mind cleaning, a very needed mind cleaning. So this is how Jesus works. He knows that we need another way of looking at the world. And also he knows that as long as we have an agenda or we have a plan made already for the day, that agenda will filter the way we see our brothers and sisters. You know, people always tell me, they want to know what's natural. Well, Jesus says to reach God is quite natural, Jesus says. In fact, it's the only natural thing in this world is reaching God. What does that mean? Aren't there natural foods, organic foods? No. Aren't there natural experiences like plants and animals and nature? Isn't nature natural? No. Nature is part of the dream world. It was made by the ego. You know, and there's a song that says God didn't create, make no little green apples. Well, that's true. That's metaphysically correct. God didn't make any little green apples. That song is metaphysically correct. And I know people get upset when they say, no, organic food is better than chemical food. They say, no, green skies are not as good as blue skies or gray skies, polluted skies in Beijing. When I first went to China, I was picked up at the airport and I'm driving through the streets of Beijing. And then the host who picked me up, they started apologizing for the sky. And I said, what's wrong with the sky? They said, we're so sorry, David. We're so sorry for the gray sky that you have to see here. I started blowing kisses out the side of the inside of the car to the gray sky. I don't care what color the sky is. I'm into love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love everyone. Love your enemies. If you even have enemies, make sure you love them. Then you won't have enemies anymore. The thing about it is we're not supposed to try to give attributes to this fantasy world, this imagination world, this fictitious world. There's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. I know. Then I get people, everyone's always upset. The environmentalists are said, come on, David, have a backbone. Stand up for clear air. I'm all for spirit, the light of spirit. I'm not so interested in clear air. I don't think clear air is helpful or harmful to me. I don't buy into the false cause and effect things of this world. People telling me this food's better than that food and this food can kill you and that food. Yeah, believing in the ego can kill your awareness. It not in reality, but it's a killer in your state of mind if you believe in the ego, because the ego is a death wish. But we have to get it off the screen. We have to start to realize it's our thinking and our beliefs where the problem is. It's not the things of the projected world. It's in the mind. It's in the mind.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hofmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhofmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.